It's from the 5th District of Ohio. Congressman Bob Latta with us here. Congressman, how are you, my friend?
I'm excellent. How are you today?
I am living the dream. First off, congratulations on the reelection. I know you guys were working really hard out there, and you can continue to fight for the state of Ohio. How are you feeling right now as you get ready to go back into D.C. next week with a little bit new makeup of Congress right now in the House of Representatives? You guys have a little bit larger voice in the House now, don't you?
Well, absolutely, because what we saw happen is that, you know, all the pollsters are saying that we could lose between 10 and 15 seats. And right now we're looking at maybe a pickup of 9 seats. And so not one sitting Republican member that was running for re-election was defeated. And so we also are going to have the largest number of women and on the Republican side in history. And we had a great recruiting class for women, minorities, veterans. So we had a really great class of people out there that were running. And it's great to know that they're going to be down there with us in January.
That's really good news. Now, I've heard as well, because of the different makeup, which, again, I mean, Democrats were talking about this blue tidal wave coming through. That didn't happen, obviously, when we gained seats and we narrowed that margin. Does that mean that the Democrats are actually going to have to work a little bit more with Republicans to get any legislation through? Do you still think they're going to try and just ram whatever they want to through the House?
Well, you know, when you look at Speaker Pelosi and their leadership, and especially the far left, they don't know what negotiations are. And again, you know, you never want to sacrifice your principles. Sometimes you can find some common ground out there. But, you know, if you go back and just look at these two COVID packages that Pelosi and company came up with after we had done the other four that really kept things going in this country, that, you know, that $3.3 trillion and $2.2 trillion package, they never even talked to Republicans. And her negotiation was take it or leave it. And I really think that when we get back, especially before in this lame duck, that there's not going to be much room for negotiations. And there's two big things coming up. There's a short-term spending bill is going to expire. And then the other is that we have the National Defense Authorization Act is how we fund the military. And that's got to be done. And so, you know, I'll be very interested to see how they approach this. But I think that what they might be looking at is that I tell people, you know, just tell me one piece of legislation that the Democrats passed in the last 22 months since they've been in control of the House of Representatives that's been signed into law that's one of their signatures. Nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing.
No.
They've wasted over 22 months.
It's unbelievable. I mean, they wasted so much time just trying to go after the impeachment of President Donald Trump, of just trying to talk about COVID-19 recovery bills that were $3 trillion plus that had nothing to do with stimulus and recovery for COVID, which is unfortunate because they just wanted to cram through whatever their spending packages were. Now, with such a failure in the House of Representatives over the last 2 years because of Democrats not wanting to work on anything, because of the election that we just saw with Republicans gaining more seats back over the last couple of years, I've heard some tweets internally that Nancy Pelosi may not be Speaker of the House, that even Democrats want her gone as a different speaker. Is that true? And who could you potentially see as a new speaker?
Well, right off the bat, their person who runs their campaigns on their side, a member from Illinois, she's already announced she's not running for that spot again. And so I think there's going to be, you know, some members out there that really want to shake things up on their side. And again, the left is really want to shake things up. But you also have a lot of members that have been there for a good number of years that have been waiting their turn to go up the leadership ladder, and there's nowhere to go. Because when you look at Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and Clyburn, they've been there for, you know, about forever. And so, you know, on our side, we have term limits for our leaders. And so, you know, once you're in, especially some of these jobs, especially on committees, you have only 3 terms and then you have to step aside. It doesn't mean you have to leave the House, but you just can't be at the top of that committee anymore. But the Democrats pretty much have had it where, you know, they can stay for as long as they want. But I think that Speaker Pelosi, I know that they had a phone call that, of course, it's supposed to be private, that is all over the press then, that she took a lot of flack from her members as to how they got beat. And then and I was out campaigning saying, you know, they're not Democrats anymore, they're socialists. And one of their members from Virginia was almost, very expletive, saying that she didn't want to hear one person ever say the word socialist on their side again, because wow, they almost got her beat. But again, this is who they are.
Well, and the party's moving that way more dramatically. I mean, then we hear Nancy Pelosi trying to hang on to her speakership and talking that she's not going to cast away socialism out of the party because you have a rising movement of that. On the other hand, we have someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez who says that unless the party actually becomes more socialist, that she's going to quit politics because she can't deal with it any longer. So I'm sensing a little bit of an internal civil war within the Democrat Party right now.
Well, if you just look across their party, you know, years ago, you might have had what they call blue dogs, and those would you call more, that would have been quote unquote moderate Democrats. They're gone. Colin Peterson up in Minnesota, who's been there, for, I think, for 30 years, was defeated in his race. I think his district might be even more Republican than mine, but he outed as a Democrat for a good number of, for all those years. But when you look at who's left on their side, very few. There was really only one pro-life, my true pro-lifer on their side. He got defeated in the primary by a very far left liberal. So, you know, again, they are not your quote unquote Harry Truman Democrats out there or whatever you might want to call them. This is a group that wants socialism. They want to move this country to the far left. And again, when you look at all the things that they want to do, is everything from government-run health care to, you know, destroying the business economy in this country, to abortion, to Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, you name it. They're out there to change. You know, they want to do a fundamental change of this country.
It's a really scary time. It really is. We're talking with Congressman Bob Latta from the 5th Congressional District in the state of Ohio. Real quickly, before we get to some of the other, the budgetary and some of the issues that you guys are going to address when you get back up there, let's talk about the presidential race for just a second, because as you mentioned, the radical left taking hold of the Democrat Party, if they control the House, we still have a toss-up with the runoff that's going to go off in Georgia for the Senate seat, and then we have potentially Joe Biden as president of the United States. It's not over yet. It could be dangerous, but the media's already called it. Joe Biden's already called it. He was standing in front of a nice banner a couple of days ago saying, oh, you know what? It was the office of the president-elect. Electoral College still hasn't even voted yet. How can he claim this when it's so close and it's there still could be some upsets based on what we find with some of these investigations with voter fraud? How can he claim that he's already nominated as the president-elect when this isn't over yet?
Yep. Well, absolutely, because first of all, the president has the right to challenge these states that are very, very close. You know, the question about election fraud, that he has the right to get in there and take these things to court. That's absolutely essential, making sure that people that shouldn't have voted, you know, their votes aren't counted. It's important that, you know, when you look like Pennsylvania, how a state Supreme Court can change the statute of the state and say, no, we're going to allow more time for absentees to come in. In the state of Ohio, pretty much the deal is if your absentees aren't in, they're not in. But here we are, like I said, in Pennsylvania dealing with that. And let's just go back 20 years ago with the Bush-Gore race, when it, you know, the race was on November the 7th. It wasn't until the 13th of December that Gore finally capitulated in that. So, you know, for the Democrats to say that this thing's over is in less than a week or in a days as Biden went out there and did it is not right. And so when you look at the, you're absolutely right, the importance of what's going to happen in Georgia. You know, the race was called in North Carolina. Tillis won that. We're going to hold the seat in Alaska, but these two seats in Georgia, because they have that, their law down there, if you don't get 50%, you have to do a runoff. And so, the balance of power in this country is going to hang on those two elections in January. And so it's so important that folks look at those races down there. And if anyone can do any help down there, call your neighbors that you might know. But they've got to really make sure that the Republicans win those races.
Yeah, that's an important one for both of those with those runoffs. And it's weird. I mean, it just continues to go into the shenanigans and the crazy times that we see for the year of 2020 with everything else that's going on. But it's unfortunate. We need to maintain that majority. And like you said, I mean, the Electoral College hasn't even voted yet. Now, the state, I mean, most people don't even know the process of that. But the states actually choose the Electoral College votees in that process, which means there's still an opportunity for this to happen. And we're just going to have to wait and see. We're going to have some patience. But they don't vote until December 14th. So we have some time, don't we?
Oh, yeah. And again, they're rushing this thing because, again, you know, inauguration is not till January the 20th. And, you know, we want to make sure that this is a fit process, allows the legal challenges the president has the ability to bring forward and to get in these states and really dig into them. Again, if folks were casting ballots that should not have been casting ballots, if people were, you know, absentees were coming in after the fact, that even when their state law said they shouldn't have been in a state court versus, no, these are the issues that have got to be, again, I think we'll be at the Supreme Court.
It's going to be wild. We're talking with Congressman Bob Latta from the 5th District in Ohio. Let's shift gears for a couple of minutes here and talk about some of the legislative issues when you get back there next week when session opens back up again. National defense. I've never understood why national defense is on the discretionary spending as opposed to the mandatory spending, because that's kind of important. But national defense is kind of one of the most important things that the federal government can do. What are we looking at with national defense? Are we doing okay right now? Do we need more spending on it? Where are we at with this?
Well, you know, first, you're absolutely right, because national defense is our top priority, because, you know, we take an oath to defend this country, defend the Constitution. If you don't have a strong military out there, not, you know, around the globe, you know, that's what deters these aggressors out there. And I think it's really important to remember that President Trump, when he came into office, was looking at a military that was totally underfunded. You know, we had, you know, when you're looking at our naval and Air Force aircraft that could not fly and not even able to get spare parts, when, you know, they were actually going to museums and scavenging parts off of aircraft that were, had been donated, you know, there was something horribly wrong. When you had, you know, ships at sea that, you know, couldn't get out there. So, you know, you go across the entire gamut. This president did, you know, a yeoman's job of bringing back this military, and it's so important. But, you know, what the Democrats do, they always, what they want to always say is, look, for every dollar for the military, we want another dollar on the domestic spending side. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that. And so, you know, that's one of the things that when, especially when we were in control of the House, the Senate, and with the president, that, you know, we really plussed up the military to make sure that they had what they had to have. And again, we don't want our men and women in uniform, here it is being, you know, Veterans Day, out there that, you know, thinking, you know what, we're not getting the support from our government to do the jobs that we have to do to protect this country. And so, you know, we have up what the military is receiving. It is absolutely essential for pay raises. You know, you go across everything that we did to help them. And, but, you know, my fear is that you get a Biden in there, and if you'd have a House and a Senate being both Democrat, you're going to see it being reversed, saying, no, we're going to put it on, you know, put this money into domestic spending. And it's just like, folks, the reason that, you know, we don't see the aggression in this whole campaign, here's a good question for people to ask. When was the time you heard anybody talking about national defense?
Yeah, they don't even talk about it.
They didn't even, the reason is because it was off the table, because the president and the Republicans, when we were in control, made sure we did what we had to do. But when you think about national defense, foreign policy, what this president has accomplished, that it was all off the table. And unfortunately, it was all about, you know, people not liking the president and then this on COVID. And when you look at the announcement that was made from Pfizer, you know, saying that they've got a 9% effective rate. And I told people, watch, right after the election, you're going to find all this stuff starting to happen. And sure enough, it did.
Now we have a vaccine that's going to be 90% efficient. And it's all not because of President Donald Trump, but it's because Joe Biden's putting together a COVID relief team for his president-elect office.
Yeah. And when you look at what the president did with Operation Warp Speed, because I serve on the Energy and Commerce Committee, we have health underneath of us. The meetings I was at with the vice president, with the pharmaceuticals, how the president put this that as a priority. When you think about when they said warp speed, I mean, they meant to get something done. How, look around the rest of the world. Who could come up with a vaccine in less than a year?
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And that's what we do. That's the great innovation of American technology and our capitalist system, allowing companies to actually do what they need to be done. But yet the progressives want to kill all that incentive. I just don't get it.
Well, and one thing just to talk about real quick, because you know what, Nancy Pelosi and her health care plan that they wanted, they passed in the House, of course. It was dead on arrival in the Senate. No Republicans were voting for that. But what they wanted to do was say that, look, and even a Democrat even admitted that we'd probably have anywhere between 8 to 15 cures that would not come to fruition over a 10-year period if their plan came into being. And so that means it could be cancer. You go down the entire list where you might be able to cure. And one of their members even said, well, we'll just have to, you know, accept it. And that's not how we are in America. We're here to, you know, get things done. And when, you know, they're for this, you know, don't rock the boat with the rest of the world, or don't worry about getting the cures out there. It's very important that Donald Trump wins this election. And so, you know, good Lord willing, when he's in court, and we can get these things reversed.
Amen to that one. Although, Congressman, remember that Joe Biden did say back in January when he was campaigning that if he won presidency, he would cure cancer in the nation. So we have that going for us.
Well, I tell you, I heard Joe say things, but a lot of times I didn't even see Joe. So I'm not sure what kind of presidency he would have if we had him. You know, the other thing is that people don't remember is Donald Trump's probably had more hits with the media. You know, going out, you know, when he's going to the helicopter, just impromptu. Yeah. The guy was always in front, is always in front of the media. So it's not one of these things where I want people to start counting if how often they see Joe Biden in front of a camera.
No, that's true. I mean, President Trump was definitely by far the most transparent president that we've ever seen. I mean, he would stop, as you mentioned, to the helicopter, the airplane. He'd stop and talk to the media. He'd do interviews left and right. He would do big media tours with talk radio. He would allow more media into the press room. So it's unbelievable what he's done. Last question before we let you go. I know you're a busy guy, but as you mentioned with a lot of the spending, the national defense spending, but right now we're sitting on a short-term spending bill. It drives me nuts, these omnibus bills that we just collect everything into one big, large bill. Why can't we get back to the appropriations process, the 12 different appropriations bills, being able to actually look at the budget, see what we can trim out, see where we need to beef up things a little bit more, and do this appropriately? Is that what's going to come up here in the next few weeks as well, or are we just going to do another short-term or long-term omnibus bill?
Let's see, again, the Democrats have to make some kind of decision what they're looking at down the road. But you're absolutely right, because, first of all, we have 12 spending bills that should be passed. And, again, what you see from the Democrats is, first of all, did they even have a budget? You know, so, you know, you have to kind of have a blueprint what you're doing out there. But what the Democrats are, you know, just so happy to do is just keep on spending. And you know, I used to serve on the budget committee, and one of the numbers that people have got to remember is this one. With interest rates going way low, the Congressional Budget Office did a recalculation. But the best case scenario now is that by 2030, we're going to pay $664 billion just to pay interest on the national debt. Wow. Now, if we have a blip up in interest rates, which we will, that's going to push that up. And Americans are going to ask this question. How are we going to pay all these payments in interest when we got to run the rest of the government?
Yeah.
And so what the Democrats are going to say, well, got to raise taxes. You know, that's how life's going to be. But we can't have that happen. And, you know, when we're over $7 trillion in debt to the rest of the world, this is what scares me about having Democrats with a pen in their hand.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and it's really scary, and this is all the more urgency for us to continue to fight and be aware of what's going on up there so we can stop this, because you're right, just raising taxes is not going to solve our issue right now. We need to cut spending and actually reform a lot of our budgetary process. Congressman
Absolutely.
Bob Latta from the 5th Congressional District, your prediction as we go into the final weeks of this presidential runoff, do you think, I mean, President Trump's been tweeting saying that there is massive amounts of voter fraud that he's seeing, and that he's expecting more information to come out next week, and that he's still anticipating a win. Do you see that? Or are you still a little concerned?
Well, you know, I'm always concerned because, you know, when you've got to play, you know, on kind of catch up here, you might say, you know, with the numbers, that's always concerning. But, you know, I've signed on to the letter to the Attorney General because, you know, they need to make sure that they're doing their due diligence and their investigation. So, you know, we want to make sure because, again, this is so important. We always say that every election seems more important than the last one. This one is absolutely more important than the election we've seen in decades.
Mm-hmm. It's the most crucial one. Congressman Bob Latta, 5th District of Ohio, we appreciate the time, my friend. As always, congratulations again on the victory for re-election, and we look forward to chatting with you again next week. Keep up the fight up there in D.C.
Hey, thanks very much. Have a wonderful day.